Sad Boy Zach Grant. Welcome to another episode. We haven't done one of these in quite a while, so we're glad we can all come together. Yeah. To be quite honest, we're supposed to do these like every middle of the week, but
life gets in the way.
Exactly. But we're here now, and we're here bringing you guys a great episode. We're switching things up. I know you guys are used to listening to interracial reports with like sort of like a set script where we could have like certain segments and stuff. I think Jackson would like to explain sort of a proposed idea to us.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things. Today we just decided we wanted to do a little bit different. So today we're going to be talking about anxiety, and we're probably going to venture off a little bit to some certain things. But Wednesdays for now on, and when we get to do Wednesday's episode, it's kind of be, you know, we make a lot of jokes on our Sunday episodes, and we try to bring light onto things. But like now we kind of want to talk about more serious issues about what's going on with us, maybe get a little more sentimental with our listeners, and maybe it could help someone that's going through something. And that's what we want to do, a little bit more serious on 2 inches Deep. And then don't even worry about Sundays. We'll always still be the funny guys. So if you guys need a little funny, but so today we're just going to be talking about anxiety and kind of where that ventures off. I'm really interested about it. And there's no script. There's no anything that's going to go on. There's no segments. It's just free balling it today. So I feel good. It's funny. I don't really know where to start. I started talking about this and how we're going to do it, but I really don't know where to start. So I feel like I want to pose a question, and it goes to either Ali Rock or Sad Boy Zach. When was the first time that you guys kind of felt like you had anxiety, or what is anxiety to you guys?
I can start. So I think where it began for me was my, like, I never felt like I had anxiety, but I used to be anxious about,
Okay.
No, listen.
Didn't feel anxiety, but anxious, for sure.
Not the adverb.
It's like a feeling like, so, as a nerd, I was like, oh, I'm having anxiety right now. I was just like, damn, this feels weird. It was, whenever I started doing wrestling, because I hated the sport, I was pressured into it. And
who pressured you into it? Was it your dad?
It was my father, yeah. And I, and
is it
a
big
coaches.
Ukrainian thing? Like, is wrestling big in the culture?
It was big that when he was doing it, yeah.
No shit. Now, was your dad a good wrestler?
According to him, of course, he's the best.
LeVar Ball.
Could have been an Olympics.
Yeah. Almost been Olympics. But, you know, he was like, I did it. You know, you have to do it. And the football coaches wanted their football players to wrestle. So, coach was like, yeah, just do it. So I was like, whatever, I'll give it a shot. But I absolutely hated the sport. It was just mentally draining more than physically. And I think that's where it began, because it's like once you're there, and I was a big boy, and they had me going up against like senior guys, you know, with no experience. And I'm like, I'm getting my ass beat here, you know, like tossed around. And it got to the point where I was just like, I don't want to do this no more, this and that. And before every match, I'd be like shaking almost, you know. But that went away.
Yeah, well, sports anxiety is, I've experienced sports anxiety before too. I mean, I've told it on this podcast before too. Before every game, and it didn't matter if it was a big game or a little game, I'd still get incredibly nervous. And it was, I think a lot of it had to do with just the fear of failure. Mm-hmm. One of those things where I just didn't want to face the facts of, hey, I could fuck up. I could do this. It was never a fear of getting hurt. It was never a fear of like what was going to happen. It was more of, hey, if I don't do my assignment, I'm going to get benched. Or if I don't do my assignment, they're going to score and I get embarrassed. It was like a whole lot of stuff. I was so worried about what other people would say to me, especially in sports, whether it was a coach or people watching or my dad or anything like that. And I don't think I've ever really admitted that to anyone besides you guys and stuff like that. But like sports anxiety is huge.
See, I don't want to be embarrassed. Because, you know, I'm always trying to be the best one there, whatever. I put in all this work. And then being embarrassed, it's like the worst feeling ever. So you're always like, I want to do good. But I've never felt like that in any other sport. Like, I've done hockey, football.
Because it wasn't like that for football, you said,
it's
right?
It's more of a team sport because I got people back me up. Wrestling is just like, it's an individual sport. It's all on you. You know, it's like taking a test. Like, if you fail the test, that's you. No one else is responsible for
it. I want to ask you this. What is wrestling preparation what is wrestling preparation like, and the fact of, like you said, obviously, you know, you had to combat all these anxiety stuff, but how do you prep for one person as opposed to entire team? Like, what is that like?
I don't, like, when I was, they didn't have no film on people until my senior year. It was weird. We could watch their rep matches, but they just gave you a set of, like, moves, and you just have to, like, do that, you know, adjust at the moment. Obviously, you got a coach in your corner telling you what to do, or just giving you pointers, like, hey, this leg's open or that, whatever. Oh, he's bending down, do this. But, like, that was the thing. Like, I don't know who the guy was. He could look like a total scrub and end up just fucking throwing me around.
Yeah.
That's how it was, like, my sophomore year. And I was, like, I made it to finals somehow in my first varsity tournament. And then I ended up, like, this guy was like, you know, oh, man, I'm wrestling you in the finals. Like, oh, super nice guy. I was like, oh, he's going to be cake. And then they pinned me in like 30 seconds. I was like, okay, I'm not that guy.
So what is that?
The preparation of, like, what?
So what is it when you go, you talk about this anxiety that you had, right? How did you combat it going into your matches? Like, what would you do to make yourself, like, get motivated or stuff like that?
I never was motivated, bro.
Did you like literally just not want to be there? Was the anxiety so bad that you didn't want to be there, or what was it like?
Well, it was like more in the beginning. I was like, oh, I'm a loser's match. Like, hey, like, watch me. I was too much. I was like, watch me lose this one.
So like immediately negative on yourself.
Right. But I ended up doing great because you want to get in the moment. It's a different type of right. thing. But
do you think that was just like for your own?
Yeah.
Like personal. Like if you did lose, it's like, oh, like I told you.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. Then, like, exactly.
It wouldn't
like,
be as wow. embarrassing.
So could you say that that's almost like a security blanket for you, where it's like you go into the thing being like, oh fuck it, I'll lose, and then you lose, you'd be like, well fuck, I lost. Yeah. But if you win, it's like, holy shit. It's almost like a Super Bowl each time you win type thing, or what was it like?
Something like that, but it was also, like, I kind of got past it because my senior year was more like I was angry before. I was like, fuck this shit, like, you know, I had enough of this shit, you know?
I like that. That's why I talk a lot about that sport
because that taught me more about myself than anything else I've ever done in my life.
And that's how I feel about football, and I feel everyone kind of feels that way about football, where football teaches you more about life than anything, just in the fact of, like, resiliency and stuff like that. But I can't imagine going into an individualistic sport like wrestling and performing against all these people, right? And, you know, it's you. It's only you. I've always, because I'm really into combat sports, how is corner advice? Can you hear it? Because I know if you can hear it, your opponent can hear it. And it's almost like a constant chess battle. What is that like?
I like when coaches are like, they say, oh, he's tired. Or this is open. I'm like, oh, no, it's not. You know, to their guy. And to my coach, really, like, my senior, he didn't have any word of advice to me because, like, you just know what you got to do. But, like, early on in my career,
I feel like that's what a lazy coach says.
But at the same time, like, I'd never wrestled, but, like, UFC fights.
Yeah.
Now, especially because there's no crowd, you can hear the corner. Yep. And it's all the time. Yep. If you're getting your ass beat, I don't want to fucking hear you telling me I'm getting my ass beat. I know.
That,
you know
what I'm saying? Like, that might like, I love add when to like, the UFC fighters are getting their ass beat and they're like, put your hands up. It's like, oh, no shit. Yeah.
No, right, no, no. Cool. This is what I'm saying. I'm on the ground. He's like,
get off the wall.
Yeah. No.
I mean, but I think at the same time, you got to put into their perspective. It's not like you could give an intricate ass thesis statement on how you're going to get up and this is what you're going to do. I think
it's just more about, and we're there.
It's just repetitive.
Right.
We're in your corner. Right. I just get repetitive.
And I feel like that's probably where practice goes in. Yeah. Okay, so I want to also talk about, did you feel this anxiety during practice or only during your matches? No,
over practice, it was just more like, it was more of a dread of not wanting to be there.
Yeah, just wait until it's over.
Right. I was also like malnourished, bro. I was like eating lettuce and like drinking like green juice.
Yeah.
There's some practice I didn't eat like 3 days and I had to go in there in full sweats and just go work out, you know? Yeah. It was terrible. That's why I hated it. I lay in bed just like soaking.
Yeah.
And, like, that's it. Yeah, that's why I hate it so much. But that took you like to the depths of, like, you know,
you really find out who you are as a person and that stuff.
Sure. Like, I thought I was, my coach was like, thought he was like near death because I lost like, it was like 13 pounds, like 12 hours. And he's like, are you good? He's like, your eyes are like deep in your sockets. He's like, are you good? And I was like breathing weird. He's like, just take a break. He didn't make me wrestle that day.
Yeah, because I feel like in high school, you really can't. You're not allowed, like, cutting weight. There's, like, a certain rule for cutting weight, right? Like, you can't...
Coaches can't tell you. They can't, like, force you to do it.
Gorman wrestlers would be cutting, though.
Yeah.
Like, Joey and...
Oh, dude, you would find... You would just know by the water and, like, coming in.
It's not water.
My boy Dylan, Hunter's older brother, would come in, and I'd just be like, yeah, you're not eating. And cut. It's a different... You got to be a different monster to do it, man. Yeah. Different monster to do it.
The conditioning...
Social... Or not social. We'll get into that later on. But sports anxiety was... It was different for me. I wasn't a big thrower-upper type guy. I didn't vomit before games. I mean, remember Farrell would throw up before
Gooch
every game.
Gooch, too.
They would throw up before every game.
On the sideline, like, it was
I couldn't do that.
I never got to that point, but I would get very stiff, especially, like, warming up. I would get nervous, and then when you finally first see your opponent and stuff like that, it's just there's a lot of anxiety coming on. And for me, it didn't stop until the first play. The first play that you can get in, then you're like, okay, fuck it. Like, it's time to go. It's just that adrenaline that goes in. But I think a lot of it, and I mentioned it before, but I think what we all go through as men is the fear of failure. The fear of if, you know, this is like, it's almost like that Four Minor song. This is like your last fucking shot, bro. Like, you better make the most of it. And so I want to pass the mic to Sat Boy Zach, and I just kind of want to ask you about your because we're just talking about sports anxiety right now, and then we'll go into more broader, but like, what is your sports anxiety like, if any?
Yeah, no, it, I for sure had some, but at Gorman, I feel like as a collective, everybody was just like, fuck, like, I'm not trying to be here. Like, right. At that, like, seniors, like, once you get into, like, the in-state games,
yeah,
it's like, fuck, dude, like, I'm ready for this shit to be over.
Yeah.
And then, but, like, once you go to college, and I only played for a season, so it wasn't like that, but it's just so scripted every day. Like, your whole day from practice at 6 to fucking tutoring, like, it didn't matter.
Right.
Every day, it's just so repetitive, and it's like, I don't know, it just got to a point where, like, when I did want to quit, nobody, like my family, my parents didn't really understand. You know what I'm saying? Like, they hadn't been through something like that. So,
can you elaborate on how much that actually affected your mental, and the fact of like what college football was like and how it fucked with your head?
The crazy part is, I think after I quit is when it fucked with me more, because it's like, that's your first time since I can remember, like, not being on like a part of a team, or yeah, even whatever it is. It was football mostly for me, but like, you don't see those guys every day now. Like, I lived with two of them, so it wasn't as bad, but it's just weird, man. Like, going from every day for 12 hours I'm with you guys to like now I'm not, and I'm just chilling. And
you guys have known this story for a while, and I feel like it's actually kind of time for me to talk about it publicly, because I never really have, and not because I'm embarrassed of it, just not it's just one of those things I haven't really always been comfortable with, but I feel like if one person in our podcast can hear this, and whoever's listening may who may be going through a tough time, maybe it'll help them. But I went through a really tough time my freshman year of college, because and we make the joke, I now I'm very secure of what I've been through. When I had gone out of high school, I was actually committed to Reno for a little bit, for about like 3 weeks. The issue was, is I had told them verbally I would probably consider them. And then I ended up, after I verbally committed, I got an offer from a couple FCS schools, and I was like, well, shit, I should consider. Mm-hmm. And when those coaches had found out about it, they wanted me to sign my letter of intent real quick. And I was only going to be a preferred walk-on, right? Well, what ended up happening is some things went down. I said no to UNR, and then my FCS offers got pulled out because I was too late, stuff like that. What ended up happening is I had gone to Reno just as a student, and I was pretty comfortable in the fact of that summer when I met Alex, and Alex knows this, I would talk about football all the time, because you got to think, I mean, that was my whole life for so long. I had been training that entire, up to that summer, thinking I was going to play football, right? So I'm best shape of my life, doing all these things. And when I gone up to Reno, I was under the impression, man, you know, I don't have it anymore. Like, I don't want to play anymore. I don't have that competitive edge. And when I went and saw my friends for the first time, when I had saw Zach for the first time in damn near a year, when I had seen all these people, it fucked with me so tough, because I was like, damn, that could be me. So it was one of those things where it was like, I'm not doing anything on my weekends, but my boys are practicing every day, and I'm sitting in my dorm room doing nothing. Well, they're at tutoring, they're doing this. And it's like, so it really, really fucked with me to the point where I had gotten extreme headaches, extreme migraines, extremely bad anxiety. I had seizures, and it got to the point where it hurt so bad that I tried to put harm on myself. And I feel like that's what a lot of people don't realize about anxiety, is that there is different levels to it. And anxiety to me is very subjective. It's very subjective in how people handle it. It's very subjective in how people go through it and stuff like that. And so, like I said, it's not, this isn't a time for me to say woe is me or anything like that, but it's one of those things where if anyone's listening, that is anyone going through anything, we understand, and there's part of us that don't understand, but we're here as an outlet to help you. You know what I mean? And so I wanted to know how you guys cope with it today, because we all still go through anxiety.
Mm-hmm. I'll start that one. So after, I guess, football season, after I quit, came back, and it was the same thing. I'm not doing anything all day. Started smoking way more weed than I should, you know?
Yeah.
And it just led to like a bad path, and I wasn't doing, wasn't going to class.
Same here. I
got on fucking academic probation real quick. That shit will drop you real quick. But also in that aspect, I had no motivation for school, because my dad had been so successful straight out of high school, never stepped foot on a college campus. My brothers did the same thing. So it's like at the end of the day, what do I need to be here for? I'm not playing football. I'm just paying rent. Like, I'm not even, you know what I'm saying? I'm just, my parents are just paying for this for no reason.
I
almost felt
like I had no purpose. You ever feel that way too? When you weren't on that team, did you feel like, what the fuck am I doing, man? Yeah. Like, because like you said, you don't, and I don't mean to cut you off, but like, I don't value college that much because my parents didn't go to college. And if you're saying that your dad didn't go to college, I don't think that you really value college that much. So it's like, so what are we doing? And that's how you and I have always bonded over. It's like, well, what are we doing then?
And I mean, it's, everybody deals with things differently. And I just didn't, it got to, I'm still not very good at dealing with problems, but it would just be the easiest thing to do. Whatever, like, I don't have to, I can just put this off. I don't have to think about it for a couple hours, like whatever it is. It was just like, I don't know. And then once you go down like a path, like of addiction and some stuff like that, like it's tough to come back from. And I don't feel like I ever really had, I didn't recognize like the sports anxiety or anything like that. It was just like, fuck, like, I just don't want to do this anymore until I started doing like coke and stuff like that, where it's like, it's weird, but once you are like alone off stuff like that, like your mind just starts thinking about everything. And I don't know, it's just, it's weird to talk about like anxiety and stuff like that, because I didn't feel like I had it until trying to get off. Like once you try to get sober and like the withdrawals and everything, and like you said, you were fucking shaking and like, dude, I would like sleep on the floor, fucking grabbing the toilet, like waiting to throw up just because I'm fucking sweating. Like that shit is tough. And I feel like it's something, anxiety too, like you're just gonna have to deal with for the rest of your life.
I feel like a lot of people actually go through that too, where it's, they feel, and I still have anxiety now. It's a little bit different now and stuff like that, but once you have anxiety, it's kind of one of those things that never really goes away.
Exactly. I think you started noticing more and more, like, you didn't know you had anxiety before.
That's kind of why I wanted to start off with the sports things, because like, you got to think, for all of us three as a collective, life in high school is a lot different than what it is now, right? Because like, for high school, you talk about, we talked about Gorman, right? Gorman was like, the mecca was football and school. You're fine. You know what I mean? If you're a football player, you're taken care of. You're straight. And so when you take that away from someone like us, that's why it was so hard for me to feel like I had no purpose, bro. Like, and I live my life based on purpose, which is like really shitty. And it's not shitty, but the issue is that like, ever since I've been a young man, my dad would always instill, and I love him to death for this. This is in no way me saying that he was a bad parent or anything like that, but he had always instilled in me, like, if you're going to do something, never do it half-assed, right? I wish I could apply that to school right now, but I'm not passionate about school. I'm not passionate about anything. And so when you take that passion away from me, from football, I literally felt like going into school, which I didn't really give a shit about, I was like, what the fuck am I passionate about? Like, seriously, what was I, like, I wasn't video games, it wasn't substance, it wasn't anything like that. I just felt empty. And so that emptiness weighed over me, and the fact of I didn't know what to do. I felt like I was a nobody, a loner. I didn't have anyone to talk to. And granted, like, I talk about me trying to commit suicide, and thank God I didn't, right? I'm blessed to be here. But I never really understood it until last year, how it affected other people around me. Because suicide is one of those selfish things where you only think about what's hurting you. But, you know, when I had actually talked about it, and now I'm a lot more open with it than I was a year ago. But you just really don't understand, you know, how much we all mean to each other. You know what I mean? It's anxiety is a bitch, bro. It is a bitch.
And when you get in like that mind state where it's like, fuck, I am alone, like nobody knows what I'm going through, nobody knows what I'm dealing with, it gets a lot worse, because it's like, fuck, the only, I don't know, it's weird, it's tough to,
getting into that mind space is a really hard thing to do, because you're right in the aspect of, yes, they don't know what you're going through, but that doesn't mean that you should shelter yourself off to it. You know what I mean? I that was the hardest thing for me. And especially you guys know last year what had happened and what had transpired, it was one of those things where I leaned heavily mm-hmm. on my friends. And I feel like that's what friendship is for, though. It's I feel bad now in the grand scheme of things of like having to call you guys up and be like, hey, can we hang out? But like, you guys know I would have done the same exact thing for you guys. You know what I mean? It's anxiety is not fun, man. And depression. Anxiety leads to depression. And I feel like depression, again, is very subjective. And we've all gone through our own depression in our own ways.
So. Yeah. And I think school puts a whole lot of pressure on us. We had a lot of talks about school.
Yeah, let's talk about school.
I think the first time I ever felt like I had anxiety or had an anxiety attack was my first day of college. I woke up like, I had class at like 1 o'clock. I remember I had a day off from work. And I woke up at 4 a.m. in a cold sweat, like panting, like couldn't even breathe.
Really?
And I was like, I don't know if I could do this, you know? Just because the high school was so like, it was like almost like on a TV show. It's like so easy, you know, football player, you know, do this, do that, have a car, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now college is like, well, no one's like holding my hand here no more, you know? And it's just like, I'm on my own, you know? And I don't know what the fuck the schools look like. I don't know who's there. I don't know what it's going to be like, you know. So that was the first time I ever was like, damn. But then, you know, I went to school and I realized it's nothing to worry about. Overthinking kills you.
I feel like that's there is something to worry about in the aspect too. But for kids that didn't have parents that go to college, it's almost like they expect their child to go to college.
Yeah.
At least that's what it's been for me. I know that's been what it's like for you because – my parents still want me to go to now granted I'm in college and I'm very grateful for the circumstance that I'm in to be able to go to college, right? Because not a lot of people could say that they could go to college, and that us dogging on college isn't us trying to be ungrateful for the circumstance. It's just sometimes college isn't for everyone, right? And I wanted to ask you guys, do you feel like college and universities these days do a good job at what they're doing, or is it just one of those things? Because the way that I view it, I feel like college is you're just paying to basically learn how to do chores. Like it's almost like you to be disciplined and that's it. It's not teaching you any social skills. It's not teaching you anything on really how to be successful. Like I had a panic attack last year and I'm a big guy on anxiety and stuff like that. But I had to walk out of the class last year because literally the professor had sit down and it was an econ class I had. And the professor had sat down and was like, well, you know, if you do this, $50,000, stable living. And I was like, bro, I'm sitting in here to be a fucking average Joe. Like, yeah. this is what I'm paying for. This is what my mom is working two jobs for. Is for me, for this guy to go, hey, $50,000, you'll fucking make it. College debt, though. And I'm like, bro, what the fuck? Like, yeah. And it really fucked with me. So I wanted to ask you guys in your guys' own college experience what that's been like and what that has contributed to and how you view things now, and whether or not you even make, when you guys are blessed with children, will you want them to go to college?
I wish I could sit here and tell you I went to enough college classes to have a decent enough opinion on it, but I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to touch, I know we're talking about school, back on something you said. It's almost, from my perspective, and I'm sure it might be similar, it's almost embarrassing to admit you have problems coming from a situation that's blessed and you know what I'm saying? It's well, my life isn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm well off. Why do I have to deal with these little problems? Like, why should I be worried about it? And then you just bottle shit up like that. And
that's why I was so, and we'll get to it later, I was so against going to therapy because I was like, dude, there's someone down the street that has it way worse than I do, and I'm over here crying myself to sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be honest with you, and I'll say this that on the podcast, I have been a grown ass man. I am 20 years old, and I've cried myself to sleep,
dude.
Cried myself like bawling my like to the point where I was like, wow. And the funny thing is if you would have asked me that 5 years ago, and this is crazy shit, I would have been like, that 20 year old's a pussy that has never done anything in his life. That is a, like, and it's crazy, bro, because you just, we're so programmed and we're so single-minded as a high schooler and to transitioning into college, where you're like, dude, you don't understand like real emotion and shit like that. It's so hard to admit that these days, especially men. Like, I'm gonna be honest, like, we build up this guard where it's like we feel we can't express our feelings and we can't act female-ish, honestly, like, because your immediate thing as a female is like, oh, you're acting like a female because you're complaining or you're doing shit like that. You know what I mean?
The one thing, because it is, you do feel like embarrassed as a man to come to like your friends or your dad or anything about issues like that. I'll say like two people. No, there's a lot of people, but like the two main people that I feel like really saved my life were my mom and Amir's mom.
Yeah.
Because like I could really come to them and like bawl my eyes out because like I don't know, it's just different with people like that, and especially like with your mom, like it's just, and Amir's mom is like my mom too, like I don't know, I can just be so open around that, and I think that's so important.
Even with us as close friends, it's hard to,
it's tough,
come
dude.
With each other and
it's tough
and be emotional, you know what I mean, because it's like, and I don't know what it is. Like, I can't.
I think it's just we hold each other to such a, or hold ourselves to such a high standard. Like, I put a whole lot of pressure on myself to be great, to do this, to do that, to, you know, please everyone almost.
Yeah.
That's one of the things
that
I always.
Exactly. Yeah.
I told myself before, I don't care if I'm in a miserable situation unless this person's happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes me happy. But the end of it, I thought to myself, why would I make myself miserable for that one person to be happy? Mm-hmm. But in the end, they're probably not even happy. You know,
right?
Because I'm not gonna please everyone.
Okay.
What is your guys' opinion on, because pressure was a really good term that you just used, Alex. What I feel, I don't even want to call you guys by our names, or I don't want to call us by our nicknames. I'm gonna go by Zach and Alex. It's funny. But you talked about pressure. Talk about the materialistic pressure that you feel, and the fact of like, hey, dude, I better be successful. Like, I better make $1 million. I better do this. I better set my parents aside and make sure that they're taken care of. I better have all this. Like, what is that like for you? And what is that like for you, Zach?
I'm gonna say, like, one thing college has taught me, and there's very little I can like recite from the classes I took. I took a whole 2 years of college, and I can't like tell you anything I learned, to be honest with you.
Same here.
You know, but one thing I did learn was, like the strive to not want to be doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, okay, I can go to college for 4 years and get my degree, but I'm doing something totally different than what these people are doing.
Right.
When people ask me, what are you going to college for? And I tell them, I'm going to be a millionaire. Huh. That's my thing. I'm not going to use that degree to, you know, go sit in an office for 6 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. Be an accountant and go work for the man.
Right.
Instead of being the man.
Exactly. So, Can you say the question one more time?
I wanted to ask you what the pressure is in being successful, and what does that mean? Because everyone, like, I think everyone wants their child or their loved one to just be comfortable. I feel like comfort is what we strive for these days instead of, like, actually pushing our boundaries. Like, I love my parents to death, and I'm going to tell you this as humbly as I can, and people, and I really hope that the people who are listening to this are not taking this out of, hey, Jackson's being like materialistic or is doing like this, but I feel like my parents hit a ceiling at one point in their life, and they just hit that comfort, and they're just like, okay, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad,
I never want to be there. I never want to be that, to that point where it's like, my parents have worked their entire life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all they've done is work. That's all they know is work. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to live a life like that.
No, my dad's been telling me that. And he's had a pretty like hard life in construction and stuff like that.
Right. And That's backbreaking work.
Yeah, there's times where he actually has broke his back, and he comes home with it. He's like, you know, just go to school, go to college, so you don't have to work like me. You know, he says like that.
But I feel like that's such a misconception.
Right.
Though.
They think college is like the gateway to opportunity, when it really is just you, like, you just have to make smart moves yourself, you know? I told my dad, I was like, well, I don't need college. Well, he's like, well, you do, because I'm paying for it. And I get that, like, yeah, it's coming out of your pocket.
Yeah.
And my parents are the same way, right. And I love them for that, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. But then there's also another thing where, you know, my parents are paying for college. I need to pass every class, this and that. And that's where a lot of the pressure comes on. But I also promised my parents, like, you know, one day I'm going to make your life easier because you made my life so great. Mm-hmm. I want to repay you guys in this way, and that way. You know, and they want to hold me up to that standard. They're like, well, you said this and that. Be a man of your word.
Yeah.
Do this. And my dad's like, oh, why, you know, when I sees me doing nothing, why are you sitting down? Or if you're going to be a businessman, let's start a business. You know? He sees me with that ambition. He's going to push me towards that.
Right.
You know?
What about you, Zach?
With me, it's a little different. I said my dad never stepped foot on a college campus. He played baseball in Ohio. Straight out of high school, got drafted by the Yankees, was on their farm team. Got hurt. If you ever met my dad, his fucking teeth are all fake. but they look fucking good. Mm-hmm. He was a pitcher. Ball came back, smashed all his teeth. He ends up stopping playing baseball, moves back to Ohio, and a car dealership hired him because they had a softball league against other car dealerships on Sundays. And then he ended up, my pops, one thing about him, he's a hustler. So he started there at 19 and moved all across. My brothers were all born in different places. Atlanta, Florida, Ohio, and I was in Arizona. Like, he just kept moving. And with me, it's like, I have two older brothers. I have three older brothers. Two of them work for my dad. One's a GM and one's a desk manager. And then the other brother that did his own thing has a PhD.
Who we've had on the podcast. Shout out Dr. Jared Grant. Great guest. Also, go listen to their awesome podcast. Interview. Thanks, Therapist. Yeah. Thank. Great man.
But just that added pressure. Like, my brothers, by any means, were not perfect, but right now they are. And now I'm starting in this company, and it's like, fuck, if I don't do every little thing right, like, there's a lot of pressure in that sense. Everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
You don't know who they are, but they're awesome. Yeah, exactly. So if they see you doing something you're not supposed to, or sitting at your computer, fucking on your phone, something like that, like, it's just a bad look. So the pressure, I guess, is just trying to live up to expectations or the reality that my dad
are is. Those expectations, I'm so glad you brought up expectations. Are those expectations bestowed by your dad or your brothers?
Not even.
Or is it just yourself?
Exactly, not even. That almost makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, they haven't said shit.
Yeah.
So, like, they just expect me to come in and be, you know what I'm saying? Because, I don't know. Like, that shit makes it worse that they haven't said anything about it. But, yeah, I just, you said it earlier, like, overthinking. Like, that's, it's hard not to, you know?
Right.
Like, once you, especially in, like, a situation like that, it's like, fuck, like, they just expect me to come in. Like, they shouldn't have to say anything about that, you know?
Right. And that's what I mentioned in the beginning, and I want to make it clear in the fact if I live my life by purpose. So if my dad used to tell me, if you're going to pick up dog shit for the rest of your life, be the best dog shit picker-upper that's ever walked this earth. And, like, that's how I go about my life. And, like, Alex knows this, and his girlfriend's here too. I'm probably not the easiest person to work with. Like, I'm really not, and it's just because, like, I expect a lot out of myself. I also expect a lot out of people, and that's been a statement in my relationships too. Oh. You know what I mean? And I kind of wanted to get in that a little bit, because as I've matured and as I've grown up, I've realized, well, shit, maybe I shouldn't have acted that way. Maybe I should have been a little bit more accommodationist, and maybe been a little more out there. But I also feel like those mistakes that I've made myself have groomed me into the young man that I am today. And that's just someone that really tries to care about other people and really tries to make sure that everyone's doing okay. But the pressure of being successful and making sure that my parents are something, like, it almost makes me emotional. It's like someone that they're proud of. You know what I mean? Someone that they're like, hey, that's a stand-up dude. That's the person I want to be, because really the money, it's not going to stay with me. Like, when I go to the next life, it's gone. But the type of person that you are is something that keeps me up at night. And that's why I always try to make sure I'm saying all the right things. And I fail a shit ton at it by not saying the right things to my friends, not being there when I should have been there, stuff like that. That's what keeps me up at night and gives me anxiety sometimes.
And I think about that too sometimes, how I handled the situation and how that maybe have ruined the relationship, or, you know, kind of gave them a different picture about me. But at the end of the day, you just got to move on, because you're going to build more relationships in the future, you know?
And that was a thing, and you could talk about that in relationships too, right? So, relationship anxiety, relationship depression is a real thing too, and it's hard. And so what I wanted to ask you, Zach, and if this is too personal, don't answer. You're obviously in a new relationship now, and you are incredibly happy, and you are incredibly healthy and stuff like that. I wanted to ask you, how has your prior relationships into your next relationship correlate and conflict, and how have you become a better person? How have you monitored what you might have fucked up in the past to now?
This is going to sound bad, but I feel like this is probably very toxic of me to say. I feel like you have to fuck up one time, get called out for your fuck up to really learn a lesson.
Yeah.
And that goes for a lot of things. But the you've known me for a long time, and I haven't ever been a relationship guy.
No.
Very rarely. And it's crazy to see, like, just from like a year ago, like how different I act towards not even my girlfriend, my mom, you know, and like everybody like that. It's just, I don't know. I never thought I was capable of like feelings like that.
Right.
And back on like the addiction, I was talking to my brother about this. Most of the time for people, you don't get sober for yourself. Like there's days where I'll wake up, if I wake up like by myself, it's like, well, fuck, I don't have any motivation to go do this. But I have this in my life right now, my parents, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't go back down this path. And that part is scary because it's like, what if I don't have what I went sober for anymore? You know what I'm saying? Like, what happens to me then?
That's a good point.
Because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like addiction, like I said, is something I'll deal with for the rest of my life. But once you get to that point where you want to get sober for yourself, I think that's a really big step. And I don't know when that point is.
Right.
But relationships are very good. Friendships with like all types of relationships are very healthy.
And just feeling I, like I wanna, people. I want to talk about that too. There is such thing as heartbreak outside of a relationship in the fact of like a spousal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I've had heartbreak in friendship.
Yeah.
Like where this year, and I'm not going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. That's a little too out there, but that does exist. Mm-hmm. That does exist, and sometimes it hurts the same, if not more, more losing a friend to something so minor, and or a family member. Again, been down that route too. It is awful, man. That is awful. I really liked what you said about. That fuck up, right? So I've been on both sides of the token. I've done the heartbreaking and I've had my heart broken and each side I was not perfect in either one. I can play victim all I want. It did teach me though who I want to be, what my expectation is, which expectation is like a really kind of bad word for it, but like I lost myself in both ways. Like I lost myself when I was a dick and I broke someone's heart, and I lost myself when I had my heart broken, right? And it's so hard to put into words those feelings, right? Because the emptiness is one, and the what was I not good enough for is two, and then trying, the post actions tell so much about your character, right? And that's what I kind of want to get into is because like, who I was after each one of them was almost like an insecure little girl. Like I acted like this tough fucking guy when I broke this girl's heart, and then I acted like I just didn't want to be around anyone the next time, and then using other people and to hope that you make feel the substance, right? Is so I used substance in a different way. It was just one of those things where I just needed to be around people to make myself feel good, and that's such a lonely area that I feel like a lot of people our age go through. This is such an interesting time in people's lives now too. And I think this year alone, with the COVID experience, has probably put so much unnecessary stress on other people in their life. And I don't want to talk too much about the relationship shit because last time we did that, I got canceled. So we're not going to do that, but I do want to talk about COVID this year with COVID. If anyone has, experienced anything out of the ordinary or
any of course we have all of us
I was, think all of us have to a certain extent, right?
I was in, I can say, like a very blessed situation with the COVID. We were closed I had just moved back from Reno, and I was dealing with all those. I mean, I'm still dealing with, but I was really going through it at that point. And I had just enrolled in the online school. So I came into work, but nobody was working. There was just the managers. So I would just sit at a desk and do my homework.
Right.
And then we opened up end of, maybe it was April. We opened back up, and our hours were cut recently to 6 hours a day. But, I mean, I can't. It sounds selfish, you know, to sit here and complain about fucking my hours getting cut down when people don't have jobs, you know? So I feel like I was in a pretty overall good situation with COVID.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my situation, I worked at this, me and Jackson worked at this company, a helicopter company. We talked about it a few times, Maverick. And, I mean...
Fuck those guys.
Right.
Fuck Maverick.
I mean, I liked that job just because I had a lot of freedom to do whatever I wanted there, really.
That was a cool job. You could do really with whatever the fuck right. you wanted.
And, you know,
no one was watching you.
You had people who you work with who are cool people, who had all had like amazing stories or whatever. Interesting stories. I don't say amazing. Fun. Yeah. But I remember I was the first person to get laid off from the maintenance department there. Mm. And it wasn't really because of my work ethic, because I know I had great work. I did everything that needed to be done. And
hold on. Let me talk about that real quick, okay. Because you are humble in your aspect. I will sit here and tell you this on mic, but I've also told you this because you guys are my best friends. There's not a single person I know that works as hard as you.
I know.
That doesn't pay attention to the little detail, that doesn't put themselves out there to be a helpful person, a mentor to other people. So I'm telling you this, and I'm telling the world this, Ali Rock is the best, single-handed best worker I've ever been a part of, and one of the best people to be
genuine.
Around in the workplace. I don't think... I've seen you give rides home to people. I've seen you offer the shirt off your back for people. So I don't want you to sit here and be like, I know it's not because my work ethic, because it had nothing to do with work ethic. Yeah. And that situation that you're about to talk about was fucked. And it breaks my heart as being a friend here and watching that shit and hearing the call. And I hope you talk about that call that you called me when that shit happened. Because I felt like I was one of the first people that knew that shit went down, and that because we had hung out the night before. Remember?
Call from about work.
Yeah. When you went into work, remember? Because we had done a podcast.
I don't know. There's multiple calls I had to deal with, but it was like the amount of drama that revolves around me, who was at the time a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old, and a bunch of grown ass men was ridiculous. Because mm-hmm. they did act like children at times.
Oh yeah.
But the amount of like, I don't know. They could disrespect me if they wanted to, but it was just like. Like, I don't get it. I'm just a kid who's trying to make money to work my way through college, you know? And I'm there dedicated to like time. We've done like 16-hour shifts. I've came in like 2 hours after that to check up on a place, and they're still like just talking shit kind of behind my back, you know? And I was like, okay, like it is what it is. If you're that mad about it, chill out. But for him to like my manager, I'm not gonna put his name out there, but for him to like look me in the face and be like, hey man, I'm sorry, you know, we're making cuts, here's nothing to do with how you work, even though, or nothing to do about any of the drama, past drama we had, even though I knew exactly that's what it was. And it was just about like, there's something against me, you know? And that's why I was like,
and let me tell you what that was, bro. It's because you didn't kiss ass.
No. And it's like, if you told me like, and that was with you, that's why I told you like, you gotta stop doing that, you know? When they tell me something and I think it's a fuck situation or it shouldn't be done, I tell them straight up. I don't need to. Okay. And then I'm like, I don't know if I should do it. If the main head man came up to me and told me some shit that I didn't like, I'm gonna say want to do, but like something I thought wasn't right, I have no problem saying it's not right.
So is it one of those things that you're saying that like, yeah? I mean, you're obviously not being used, but was I in the predicament of getting used type shit?
Like, dude, I told you this when we were there, man. I was like, because whenever they told you something, you didn't even like hesitate to say no or like argue to the point like, oh, why am I doing this? Or what's the point of doing this? And it got to the point where like I had to talk to my manager multiple times about, hey, man, like, you know, we're getting paid this wage, but I'm picking up other people's slack or getting paid twice as much as me. Why? You know, I was like, why? And he gave me his bullshit explanation to not, you know, I'm not obviously not going to get raised or anything. But he gave me his explanation and I was like, okay, shook my head, walked off. And then it got to the point where they started expecting us to do these things that we've picked up extracurricular, like stuff that they never expected us to do, but we're doing now. And I've learned how to do it well and learned how to, like, we taught other people how to do it. And it got to the point where if like, I was like, oh, I'll stop doing it. You know, they're not paying attention to me. Then they got to, hey, why aren't you doing this? And then they go to Jackson because I told him I'm not doing this no more. They go to Jackson and he'd do it.
Were you guys the two, sorry to cut you off, were you guys the two youngest?
Yeah.
Do you think it was like,
it was just it's funny because we were really hardworking and determined, and we were very friendly to everyone. We got along with everyone.
And they took advantage of that.
It was one of those things where like we were very well liked around there by our peers. Management just kind of saw us almost like nobodies, right? Because our position in that company, right? Our position in that company wasn't trivial. Like it wasn't to the point where we were affecting what was going up in the sky and doing stuff like that, right? So they didn't see us as assets, but what they saw us as were luxuries. Like in the fact of like, hey, everything's going to look nice and we're going to do this, so let's get every single bit out of them, but we're not going to pay them right. And so what Alex is referring to is like he's talking about the little shit that we would do behind the scenes. So like him and I would pick up 16-hour shifts, go in the morning at one. I mean, there's a video. We had just started the podcast, and there was a NASCAR. Was it NASCAR?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It was some sort of thing that they made us do, and we ended up doing like a 16-hour shift. And it was weird, bro. Like, Alex and I have never looked, because obviously we're coworkers now again, but we've never looked for like a smack on the ass and been like, hey, you're doing good. But it was like one of those things where it's like, bro, we just busted our ass, and then like the next day it was like busting our chops again, like, hey, why isn't this shit getting done? And it's like, wait, bro, what
are you guys doing? Yeah,
so this is like a really elongated story. I mean, I think we're obviously in a better situation now. Right. Well, even now we deal with some bullshit.
I mean, I was just gonna say, when I got fired at that time, and then I was like for real like the only one fired, everyone else kind of got laid off. When they, I was the only one had to like turn in my uniform, and I was like, okay, that's kind of fucked. But it was funny because I was at the time, I was like, you know, it is what it is. And I actually like, I like almost like, I didn't break down, but I like cheered up. I was like, damn, they did me dirty like this after all the shit I've done for them. Like, it's been like a year and a half of work that I've put in. I was so dedicated to the company, like I repped all their shirts or whatever, and they just treated me like, like a fucking,
I was repping the set,
bro. They treated me like a fucking like towel, like fuck.
I don't even think you understand like how bad that hurt me as a friend when you called me and told me, and you're like, and I could hear it in your voice. And then it made me sad, because the whole reason why I came back was because of you. Like, you got me my job back, and then, like, the fact that I didn't get laid off was more of like, bro, what? Like, I was expecting the call next because I was off that day, and I never ended up getting it. And it always, and like, I've never really told you this, but it like always fucked with my conscience, because even when I went back this summer, I had worked there for I think 2 or 3 months after we got furloughed. 2 months, I think. And I was working two jobs. And I've never told you this because like, I don't know why, it just kind of came off, and now we're like talking about our feelings and shit, so maybe I should be honest. But like, every day that I went there, I felt like dog shit, bro. I felt like I was being like the biggest fucking dickhead to you.
And I've like, told you, like, hey man, don't quit that job.
You felt guilty. Stay.
I felt so guilty, bro.
Wow.
I felt so guilty because it was one of those things where it's like, one, the issue I felt guilty was the story about me leaving Reno was because obviously my mental health, but the first person that I called when I came back was Alex, and he got me my job back because I knew I needed to get a job, right? I'm always trying to do. I was like, fuck, if I'm not working at Reno, I need something to do, right? So I was like, fuck it, I'll come back to my summer job. So Alex got me back, right? And that's really what blossomed our friendship to what it is now, was working all those hours and like fucking around. Like, that job will always hold a special place in my heart, for as much as the bullshit was, it was my first job. In the fact, and you kind of always love your first job, but like, that, you know, I met my best friends out of it and shit like that. And that whole job is the reason why we're sitting here on this mic today talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But going back, I got the call back. So for people that are a little confused, I got a call back after we got furloughed, and I was the only detailer left, all by myself. And we talked about anxiety before this. I went in and I had a panic attack my first day back, and I never really like you. I told you about it, but like when I went there, my chest was on X game mode, bro. I was like hyperventilating. I had to go sit down, and it was one, because I didn't have my friends. Two, I had been, you know, working at Dickies prior to that, and I was like actually kind of enjoying my job for a little bit. But I went back and I was just like, bro, this is so weird. This is so weird. But I, what I wanted to say is this: I felt like a scumbag for going back, and I never really told you about it because I just felt like you were way more passionate about that job than I ever was. One, because I'm not mechanically inclined.
That's okay, bro.
Like, I felt like shit, so I wanted to tell you this. Like, I am actually sorry. Like, it makes me sad that I went back.
You don't have to apologize, bro. I told you from the get-go. I was like, if I get let go, they don't quit. Like, keep the money here. Like, stay here while you do it. Find another job, whatever. And then you also, you hooked me up with a job after that.
And that's what fucked me up. Because do you remember, like, the first thing you said when you came in the Dickies your first day?
No, I don't.
You don't? I will never forget this for as long as we were friends. You go, we're even.
Oh. You remember that? Yeah, yeah.
He had came in, and I was like, hey, bro, just coming back. Like, because the funny story about him working at Dickies, legit Texas barbecue.
Legit.
And it's so funny, bro. It's so, because we're talking about anxiety, and what we tend to forget about anxiety and like depression is like through those tough times, sometimes are the best memories that come out of it. Just because like you don't, sometimes when you're sad, you have to go through it with your friends and shit, and it's just funny. But when you got laid off, I was told not to come back because of the whole quarantine shit. I remember like everyone like actually flipping the fuck out. Like my dad called us and was like, we had just finished an episode. It was like, hey bro, like get your ass home, like go get some shit, because he was under the impression that shit was gonna go down, right? And so when I called you, I was like, hey, what are you doing today? Oh, nothing, not much. You wanna come see the new restaurant? Yeah, sure. I was like, you wanna work today? Like just cause? He's like, yeah. Came back in. I said, hey, do you want to like work here a lot more often? He's like, okay. And then right as he came in, he's like, we're even. And that was his first words. We're even. And so what I want to talk about is like what blossomed out of that. Obviously fun times at Dickies. Obviously more times for golf that we had that we didn't get to do with Maverick. And memories and Zach coming back and not waking up at the fucking ass crack of dawn. But like friendships we made. You met your
great people.
Girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's shit like that where you don't really see it happening, but like, there's so many movies.
That's what I like. I was like, I was talking to my girlfriend about it, and I was like, kind of thankful that COVID did happen, because the situation that put me in and put other people in, her in, and that kind of brought us to this point, you know? And I was like, if that didn't happen, who knows where I'd be right now? I'd probably still be a Maverick.
Yeah, exactly.
That gave us so much, like, creative
time, yeah.
You know what I mean, it gave us so much creative liberty where we, I don't know if to the new listeners,
imagine if this is their first episode.
Yeah, Alex, right, today's their first episode. Wow, this is gonna be a heavy,
yeah, fuck. I wasn't ready for 2 inches deep. They're fucking
shit. Alex and I started this, and it was more like we didn't believe in it.
Yeah.
Like, I think we all talked about it. And even when Zach joined in, I think he joined in 2 months later. We got to find your actual date. We're coming up on a year.
Mm-hmm. Pretty close.
I can honestly say that we all really didn't believe in it. And the fact of like, it was just like, oh, this is fun. Like, this is fun to hop on the mic and bullshit for a couple hours a week, right? But when COVID happened, our group chat became a lot more wild. I mean, the funny thing is like, I know Alex individually and I know Zach individually. And then when we all came together, it was like, okay, Alex needed to be, Alex met Zach and it was like, okay, the relationship was more of like, just podcast oriented. Like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about sports, blah, 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 blah. And that was the entire plan. We're just going to talk about sports. To what it's come to now, like I said, this is your first fucking episode listening. Our plan was just to talk about sports and, it's just crazy what it's turned into now. It's crazy to what it's turned into now. Dude. How long has it been off?
We last 5 minutes. You can still hear you, but this is the cord. Keep going.
I am so sorry to. We've had incredibly bad. We've had incredibly bad technical difficulties as of late. It has been a mess.
Stick your shit up, Belly Rock.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
But anyways, maybe that's a time means to wrap this up.
You were talking about our relationship. I had a funny story about this.
I think our relationship had quarantine was just an amazing time for us because it really solidified our friendship, more times for our podcast into what it's turned into now, where we're in a fucking garage right now. Yeah. It's just, I owe a lot to COVID-19, which is weird.
You were talking about like how Ali Rock and I's relationship has grown. I don't remember when, but for like the first 3 or 4 episodes that I was on, your contact in my phone was Alex Podcast. And then I don't remember what like prompted me to change it one day.
Yeah.
But like it is funny like how close we have gotten in such a short time. And to everybody that has listened to this and is dealing with their own issues, I've been down a dark path, and it feels like you don't have anybody to talk to. Nobody's going through what you're going through, and I probably don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you some shit and maybe it'll make you feel a little better, or I can shut up and you can just talk and I'll listen. But it really is important to express how you're feeling and the problems you're going through, because if you don't, you can't get better. So I think all of us here will agree, like, we're all here for you guys. And even if we're not that close, even if we don't really know who you are.
Yeah, if you heard this episode, like, hey, guys, you said something like this that resonated with me. Yeah. And you've talked to us about it. Feel free. You know, we're all ears around here. And there's no one that we will turn down. You know, we've had people who, you have musicians on the podcast. We have doctors on the podcast. We've had athletes. And we've all had our personal talks with them one-on-one off the mic, you know. Yeah. Not everything has to be recorded.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. This podcast has been our life the past 6 months, right? We've committed a lot to it, and that's entirely because of you guys. There's been fights on here that we've had amongst us three. There's been tears. There's been hugs. There's been a whole lot of shit. There's been hand jobs. What? What we wanted to say is that, you know, what's going to happen on these next coming Wednesdays is we just want to have a more open basis with you guys, because we are human too, right? It's before I was Coach Jackson, I was Jackson. I was Jax. That was me. And before Sad Boy Zach, he was Zach. And before Ali Rock, it's Oleska. It's Alex. Okay. So what these guys just said is so true. Is you're never really alone. As much as you ever feel like it, please reach out. Please hit the hotline if you have to. I mean, please even reach out to us. We will never turn anyone thing down.
We don't need to know who you are.
Right. But it goes so much more. This is such a community now of like what the 2 inches deep stuff is. And there's been numerous times, and I want to be transparent before we get off the mic. There's been times in this podcast where we wanted to quit. Like us three, where it was like, hey, if we don't know if we want to do it. And I'm sure that there's going to be more times like that come up. But what keeps on us coming back is people texting us and be like, hey, are you guys doing an episode this week?
What's going on?
Hey, why haven't I heard from you guys in a little bit? Hey, are we doing a football game? Are we doing a kickball game? And that was the thing that gets me emotional, was like, I never really realized how much that kickball game meant to so many other people, where it was almost selfish for me because it was about my grandpa and shit, but the people who showed up and then donated and did all that shit, like broke me down in the tears. So what we're trying to say is this podcast has become such of a community where we've built our families around it and stuff like that, that we want to keep on going. But starting from now on, Wednesdays is going to be more
personal
and just real shit. We just want to talk about real things that people actually go through. And on Sunday, it'll be jokes. So if you don't want to hear us on Wednesday, that's okay. That's okay. Sunday, come have a good time, and we're gonna laugh and we're gonna joke. But starting on Wednesdays, this is gonna be something you like, and or we like. You will like it. But this is something that we're gonna start doing. And just let us know what you guys think.